in Sunday school, but here, this is why this is so, so very important. I want to encourage you today and show you a couple things from God's word of why this is so, so very important. And so when I was getting trained, when I was in college, I was at this camp where we were learning, getting prepared for a mission assignment. And the guy who was one of the guys overcharged the entire thing said, "Hey guys, why don't we come back to the hotel meeting room tonight and we're going to have a Bible study." And I said, "Okay, that sounds great," because I really looked up to this guy, wanted to learn a ton from him. He seemed very smart, seemed very godly. I was excited about it. And then I sort of catch him walking down the hall, and I realized something about this guy who invited us to a Bible study. Guess what he didn't have with him? Bible. And I thought, uh-oh, this is going to be awkward. So I'll be like, "He can borrow mine." So he's getting ready to start. And I was like, "Hey, bud, I noticed that maybe, did you forget it back at the place? Like, you can borrow mine." He's like, "I'm good." I was like, "Okay." And so he sits down in the middle of about 20 guys, and he goes, "What questions do you have about God's word?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "What would you like to know about God's word tonight? What questions have you had?" And he said, "We're going to go to it now." And so people just started asking certain questions. And guess what this guy did? He had a verse for every single one of our questions. Nobody had planned this. I'm sitting there going, "No, this is not happening." So some of the stuff was kind of simple. One guy said, "Well, how do you know God's will for your life?" Well, he says, Ephesians 5:3 says, "This is God's will for you, your sanctification. You need to abstain from any form of sexual immorality." That's God's will for you right now, boy. It's like, oh, you got into your business there. And then it would be stuff like, you know, maybe it said, "Well, how do you know, you know, sometimes I don't know if I have enough stuff and I would like really like to have nicer stuff." And he'd say, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says this, "But godliness is a great gain when accompanied by contentment, for we've brought nothing into this world. We cannot take anything out of it either. So if you have food and covering with those, you should be content." And I'm thinking, dude, this guy's serious. So in my mind, you'd think I would just be trying to find something that I really wanted to know from him. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to stump him. I wanted to see if I could come up with a question he didn't have a Bible verse for. So I'm sitting there going like, what could be like something that would be like a legitimate question? But I know he ain't gonna have a Bible verse on. And I was like, "All right, I have a question. I really like to play jokes on people, you know, sort of prank them. Like, you know, do you have a Bible verse for that?" I'm just thinking this is going to be awesome. He goes, Proverbs 26:18-19. I said, "Are you kidding me?" And he says, "Like a madman who shoots firebrands, arrows, and death is like the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'Was I not just joking?'" And I thought, oh my goodness, this guy's a walking commentary. Like, I was fearful a little bit. And then I just realized, like, when I saw this guy preach, when I saw this guy witness, when I saw this guy disciple, when I saw this guy counsel, I always looked up to him and thought he was so incredibly powerful, and I finally realized why. He wasn't using his words anymore. He was using God's words. And so today, the theme of this today for camp is the point of truth. And here's just a summary statement for us to launch out to. We are not called to justify our opinions, but to obey his commandments. Today in your Bible study, today, tonight as we worship, we're going to be talking about continuing to go down on learning God's path, and that really comes down to God's truth. You're not called to justify your opinions. We're called to obey his commandments. And how do we do that in a world where we always don't have this open and accessible? Well, here's what in Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11, it says this. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my," how much of your heart had to say? "With all my heart, with my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have treasured up your word in my heart that I might not," what? "Sin against you." So when you look at this, why memorize God's word? These verses tell it to us really easy. Verse 9, it says it keeps us from impurity. Did anybody in this place, would you like to be kept from impurity? Well, sure we would. Something that's impure, something that's away from the Lord. Why do we memorize scripture? It keeps us from impurity. Why do we memorize scripture? Verse 10, it keeps us from wandering. How many of you know that line in that old hymn? "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." You feel like you're drifting, you're wandering. And what does scripture memory do? It's saying, come back. You know what this is supposed to be. Come back. In verse 11, what does it do? It keeps us from sinning. And so when I think about this, and I'm reading this passage in here and going through it, why do we memorize scripture? I used to think that people memorize scripture to impress people. And ultimately, memorizing scripture is not about impressing people. It's about keeping from sinning. And would anybody like to stop sinning in that way that you just continue, feel like you mess up all the time? Would you like to fight a little bit? I would. And so what I had to realize is, what's the key to that? It's memorizing scripture. It says, now with my whole heart, I've sought you. I've longed for you. I've looked after you. Let me not wander from your commandments. And here's the problem. If I take this Bible and I put it on my shelf and I leave in the morning, guess what I do? I'm wandering from the physical aspect of this leather-bound book. I'm wandering from it. Physically, not maybe mentally, not spiritually, but I'm wandering from it. But if I memorize it, if I stick it in my head, if I put it in my heart, even when this is on the shelf, guess what? Still walking around with me. I'm not wandering from his truth. It is there. It's ready for me at any time. And so I've treasured up, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Why do people memorize scripture? Because they hate sinning. You want to stop sinning. In fact, I will memorize scripture as much as I hate sin. That's how much it goes to. If you hate sin in your life, then what the Bible is telling us today is what you need to do, what I need to do is we need to memorize scripture in those areas where we keep sinning. Very simple. Find the area that you hate. Now let me, if I was just to ask you right now, if we had this one-on-one counseling session, and I'd say, tell me that area you feel like you keep tripping up in. You just feel like you keep messing up. You can't, you just, everything, you're trying to stop, but you keep getting back in that ditch. You follow me? Y'all know those areas in your life? I'm not going to ask you to confess them right now, but you know them, right? You go, I want to stop, but I can't. Why? Because you need the word of God in your heart and your soul and your mind. You're needing it there. And so we must discipline our minds to have the Bible accessible even when the Bible is not available. What you've got to do is to start memorizing scripture so that even if the leather-bound, hardback copy, whatever you got, is not like available right with you, it's always accessible right there in your mind. You know what the Lord says in those moments. When you're offering a temptation, you got two paths, and which one are you going to choose? You need to know in that moment, what does God say about this versus what do my opinions think or how my emotions are feeling? How many of you would like to follow your emotions on every decision in your life? How well would that work out for you? Not too good. And so what you're having to do is you're saying, I need to have the Bible accessible even when it's not available. I need to memorize scripture for that. And scripture memory positions me to speak God's word rather than my opinion. Isn't that incredible? Wouldn't it be awesome if one of your friends came up to you and says, you know, I'm really struggling with what to do here. I don't know if I should do this or do that. And you say, instead of, here's where I was as a pastor and a counselor for a long time. I would get to the place where I'd say, you know what? Well, I think you should do this. Or, you know, my advice to you would be this. My wisdom tells me this. You know what's more empowered to say? Thus saith the Lord. God says this. His word says this. God has spoken and said this. Not Trav's opinion, God's words, God's truths, and I am able to walk in that plan. And so here's the thing. If you want to think about a plan, here's three practical steps for you. I know this is a lot for us to go through, but this is so very important to you. Number one is establish fighter verses. Here's the plan, establish fighter verses. You go, what is that? When I first started memorizing scripture, when I left that hotel that night and realized that the reason why I was struggling in so many areas is because I was not arming myself with the word of God, I established fighter verses. I looked for what were the most difficult, sinful areas of my life, and I started finding Bible verses to help me fight. Those are the first ones. I started looking in the areas where I kept sinning and I kept struggling. You know what you guys have now that's just incredible? Right? I know a lot of you are, a lot of times you sort of have these phones that you can look at and do whatever you want to on it. You pull up Google and you say, Bible verses on speech. Brr, here they are. I mean, like, I didn't have that when I was your age, man. Like, I'm really, like, it's incredible. Bible verses on purity. Brr. Bible verses on how not to talk back to your mom. Brr. I mean, there they are. Like, all over the place. So find the area where you're struggling, and you establish those fighter verses. So the first few verses of scripture that I memorized, that I put on some little note cards and started walking around with me everywhere that I went and kept just reading them and reciting them and praying through it, the first few verses I did were those areas that I needed to fight against sin. So you find out what are the areas that you need to fight. Number two, strengthen abstract verses. Strengthen abstract verses. Y'all ever have those times where like somebody's saying a verse and you're like, oh, I kind of know that one. For by grace you've been saved through something or other and Jesus loves you, this I know for the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Like you kind of know, but you don't know all well together and you don't know exactly where to point somebody to. Find those verses that you kind of know. Like people say, oh, I know a Bible verse. Jesus wept, right? Shortest verse in the Bible. Well, I always say, well, where's that at? You're like, I don't know. It's John 11, 35. This is the first one you can learn today, okay? So let's practice. Repeat after me. Jesus wept. John 11, 35. Let's all do it together. Jesus wept, John 11, 35. You got one now. Give yourselves a hand. Whoa! Okay, good. Listen, here's the deal. But what's beautiful about that is you notice John 11, 35. Here's this friend Lazarus who just died, and we see that Jesus is even concerned. He's connected with us emotionally. But you strengthen those abstract verses, and three is include pivotal verses. Over the time, you start including pivotal verses. So where you are in life, you start thinking about, what if somebody came up to you and said, you know what, I don't know what it means to be saved. Would you go, it's a pivotal verse you probably need to know. So there's some certain areas. Can I just tell you, when I came back that summer and I decided that I was really going to take this seriously, like I really want to start memorizing God's word, I got a key ring that I found when I was in Japan, and it had these little note cards on it. And on the front side, I wrote these Bible verses. On the back side, I wrote the reference, and I just went everywhere and I started memorizing them. When I got back to college, and I was at North Greenwood University, and me and my roommate were in there, we used to start really competing against each other, pushing each other, and saying, okay, what does God's word say about this? And so some nights I'd say, let's just say that I ask you a scripture about what does the Bible say about drinking alcohol? Go. Couldn't have your Bible. You had to navigate your way through. And we just started pushing each other till we did it. Nowadays, what I do every morning after I've read God's word, I also work through a thing called memorizing God's word. I use a app that I bought off the app store called Scripture Typer that is my favorite thing on my phone. And what it does is every day it's got a list of verses that I'm going back and reviewing because I've memorized these things. And so even like last night, I was going through a couple of things right before I went to bed, and Psalm 119 verse 164, it says this: seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous rules. And I thought to myself, have I praised the Lord seven times a day? And it's just this reviewing it and hearing God's word over and over and over. And here's the reason why. Let me just explain something. When Jesus was in the garden and he had been fasting for 40 days, 40 nights up there on the mountain. And what happens in this moment is that Satan comes to him and he begins to tempt Jesus, right? Now, how many of you, if you hadn't eaten for 40 days or 40 nights? I love this. It says, the Bible says that after Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Really? Some of you are like, 40 minutes and my tummy's growling, right? Okay. 40 days, 40 nights. And what does Satan go? Hey, you're so big and bad. Why don't you take the stone and make it some bread? You can't do it, can you? And what does Jesus do? He quotes from Deuteronomy. Man should not live by bread alone. Now listen, when you start quoting Deuteronomy, you know you mean business, okay? You mean some serious business, okay? And I'm just saying, if Jesus himself, God in the flesh, combated temptation and sin by memorizing God's word, why do you think that you and I can do better without it? I'm telling you this, was the discipline that made the difference for me in my spiritual growth. Read God's word, memorize God's word. Find a verse today. Maybe it's something you read today that you go, I need to have this. And you start working on it and reading it, and reciting it to somebody. Have an accountability partner. I'm telling you this, you have God's word available, because you know what? When temptation comes, let me show you what you can't do. If the Bible's over there, if you've left and you're in the middle of school and the temptation hits, what you don't have time for is, let me find a thing. There's a verse. What does that say? You need to have it ready. You need to have it ready. Satan's going to tempt you a lot more when you're away from this than when you're in the middle of it. So you need to be in the middle of it all the time. Let's pray together. Father, I ask that as we come together as a family, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of David, who would write that your word he has hidden in his heart so that he may not sin against you. And Lord, we know that just having this memorizing doesn't mean that we won't sin, but it is one of the components that you teach us to help us fight against sin. Lord, would you cause us this very day to start hiding your word in our heart that we may not sin against you. May we treasure it more than anything else. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said,